Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We are so excited to bring you a message from God's Word that will fill you with a deeper understanding of the Christian faith and all the promises that we have in Him. You know, the Bible said the promises of God are in Him, yea and amen. Even so be it unto me, even so let it be, Lord God. That's what amen is all about. And we are amen people if we're believers of the Word of God today. If you're a return listener, we welcome you back anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world, particularly those of you in North Florida that are listening to your hometown radio station, WMAF. We're glad to be affiliated with this family-friendly radio station that has classic country music, classic gospel music, and classic preaching as far as I'm concerned. And I believe the other ministers that minister on this radio station would probably be inclined to say the same thing. Classic in the sense that not that we're outdated, but that we go back to the Word of God as the source for all of our preaching and teaching. And that makes us classic, particularly in these days when so many are changing and moving away from the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Thank God for ministers, all of you ministers that are listening and broadcasting, that are staying true to the fundamental truths and foundational stones of the gospel of Jesus Christ today, using the Bible, praise God, for all of our material, that we might bring God's Word to a contemporary generation, a 21st century generation, and yet bringing ancient words and ancient truth that does not change, because it doesn't need to change, friend. God is perfect. His Word is perfect. His very person is perfection. Praise God. Amen. So we need to do the changing. Leave the Word of God alone today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're getting ready to go back into a subject, God's promises to the overcomer. But just before we do, I'd like to invite you to come to our website. I am a pastor, and I am now wearing two hats because of radio ministry, and we're doing the work of an evangelist. So I introduce myself now as Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. Because of this outreach and other outreaches, we are endeavoring with everything within us to keep the Great Commission, to go into all the world, and to preach the gospel to every creature. If you would like to find out more about our ministry, you can come to our website. Just Google it. If you will choose that great search engine that's one of the biggest and best, in my opinion, it will take you, if you type in THCOG, that stands for the Holy Church of God, but THCOG will bring up our homepage, I think number one on Google, and you can come directly to our homepage. You're welcome to peruse our homepage and download any sermons that span back down through the years, 37 years as pastor, and many, many sermons down through the years, and sermon topics that I believe would be of interest to you. If you want to download any of the recent series of teachings right here on Let's Talk About Jesus, they are available to you. Since iPod was made available, a podcast rather, people with iPods, MP3 players have come to download materials, and we welcome you to come and do that. No strings attached. Wherever you take the gospel, wherever it goes, you're a media missionary, and you're helping to take the gospel to the regions beyond. Praise the Lord. And you there in North Florida that are listening in your hometown to your hometown radio station, we're so glad that you have come back once again to hear this broadcast today. Now, with no further ado, we're going to go back into the message, God's promise to the overcomer. It's real important that we keep an incentive to keep on keeping on in these days when we are definitely upstream Christians in a downstream world. If you're a Christian today and you're following Christ, and that's the criteria for calling yourself Christian, it's not your affiliation with a denomination or your affiliation or membership of a church. It's your determination and to follow Jesus Christ. Christ as your Lord as well as your Savior. Amen. And if you're following Jesus today, you're counterculture. You're going against the grain. You're going against the wind. You're an upstream Christian in a downstream world. And you don't have to decide to go back to begin to backslide. All you have to do when the current is against you is to quit pressing on, and the current will take you back. So the decision not to press on is, in effect, a decision to go back, because that's where you'll find yourself. That's why Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before, I press. Literally, that word in the Greek means to strain forward. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. And we want to encourage you to keep on keeping on today. Amen. And we've chosen some scripture that was written to the seven churches of the province of Asia in the book of Revelation to bring forth the words of Jesus. It's the things He used to give them as an incentive to not let anything hold them back, certainly not let anything turn them back, but to keep on pressing forward. Amen. And what promises He has given us as an incentive to keep on keeping on. I'm going to review them as we go to our next level today of teaching. In Revelation 2 and verse 7, there is the promise of eternal life. It is the top shelf promise in the Word of God. There's nothing more important, no greater incentive to keep on keeping on than what awaits us. Amen. And that is eternal life. Praise God. The overcomer will be given eternal life and eternal blessings. Revelation 2 and verse 7, Jesus says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. And then the overcomer will be saved from eternal banishment and punishment. It's not just what we're saved to that gives us such an incentive, but what we are saved from. Revelation 2 and verse 11 says, he that overcometh will not be hurt of the second death. And the second death, of course, is that resurrection of the unjust, where they all that have not trusted Christ are banished from His presence and punished eternally. This is one of the most serious statements in the Bible concerning the plight of the lost, and we need to bring it back into focus. You deserve today, if you don't know Jesus, to clearly understand there is a heaven to gain, and clearly understand there is a hell to shun. If I were to write a book, I tell my congregation all the time, and I'm going to tell this listening congregation today, if I were to sit down and write a book, which I have never done, one of the chapters would be, in our generation, whatever happened to heaven? Seems you almost have to go to a funeral. We're so involved in the challenges and the pressures and the responsibilities of living life in the fast lane. And believe me, that's about the only way it seems you can live it. And the way everything is accelerating in the 21st century. But we as Christians have to pull back the throttle. We have to understand there's more than this world that we are involved with, and more that God wants to show us. Amen. There is a heaven to gain, and we shouldn't have to go to a funeral to hear a good message on heaven. Ministers should be proclaiming, amen, that message even more as we see everything winding up down here. And if time went on a million years, which it certainly shall not, I want you to know that I'm a breath and a heartbeat away from leaving this old world. Even if Jesus doesn't come tomorrow, I could draw my last breath tomorrow, and friend, so could you. And it's so important that we know, amen, that we have a heaven to gain, but we also have a hell to shun. And that message is another chapter would be in a book that I would write, is what ever happened to hell. It's as if it doesn't exist. And yet the Bible is very, very clear and concise. I'm glad that we as Christians and believers in Jesus Christ will be saved from eternal banishment and punishment. We shall not be hurt of the second death. Amen. You can go to our website and you can pick that up, I believe, and listen to that second edition in this series. And then the overcomer will be given a reconciled unto God and will be able to eat, according to Revelation 2:17, of the hidden manna, righteous food for righteous people, and given a white stone. Praise the Lord. Revelation 2:17, he that overcometh I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and to him that overcometh I will give a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth except he that receiveth it. This is intimacy, fellowship, and a partaking of Jesus, amen, in a spiritual intimacy. And it is an important blessing to be received, an incentive to overcome. Now today we're going to number four. The overcomer will reign with Jesus Christ and have, again, that intimacy is emphasized as an incentive. It keeps coming up over and over again in Revelation chapter 2, verse 26 and 27. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule over them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken into shivers, and even as I received of my Father. Friend, according to the Scriptures, we will have administrative positions under Christ during the millennium. We are not going to sit on clouds and play harps throughout all eternity. God is very serious about the authority of the believer. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12 says, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. Praise God. Amen. That incentive to be faithful, even under persecution here in this world, in one of the incentives given in 2 Timothy is the promise that if we suffer with him, if we identify with him enough to suffer with him, we're also going to reign with him. You know what the Scripture said? It said, all those who live godly shall suffer persecution. We have a problem with that word, but the apostles didn't have a problem with it. They saw suffering persecution and suffering the loss of their own fleshly wills by giving that will up. They saw that as an identification with Jesus that assured victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Praise God. Amen. If we suffer with him, friend, we're going to reign with him. And the Bible said that the early church looked upon suffering persecution for his sake as a badge of authenticity that proved that they were the authentic, genuine followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, this suffering is called light afflictions, according to Paul. He said these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh for us a far greater eternal weight of glory. Yea, man, he looked past the immediate world that we're living in and persecutions that comes with it and temptations to our flesh. And he looked to the day that we would stand with him in eternal bliss and eternal heavenly joys. And he said, you know, nothing down here that we're facing right now. And they were facing heavy persecution and the threat of the giving up of their very life, which the Apostle Paul and others did for the sake of the gospel. And he called everything that was coming against them here light afflictions. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, for as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no more live his life to the will of the flesh, but to the will of God. The great Apostle Paul said, oh, that I might know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might also know him in the power of his resurrection. Don't let that word suffer fool you, throw you. Don't have an aversion to it as a Christian. Embrace the cross of Jesus Christ that you might be able to truly follow Him. For if we don't give in to our flesh, sin will not have dominion over us. And we can reign in life through Jesus Christ because the flesh doesn't reign in us. Oh, denying yourself and taking up your cross that you might follow Christ is not going to leave you with a deficit. It's not going to leave you with an emptiness to where life is not fully appreciated and enjoyed. It's going to make more room for God inside of you and inside of me. And I'm going to tell you, the abundant life is not the way it's presented by many today. Amen. Because the Bible said that the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly. And then he went on to say in another portion of Scripture that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. So we've got to go beyond the material world to really understand what abundant life is all about. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible said that he that tries to keep his life is going to lose it, but he that lays down his life is going to find it. And I've discovered that life that Jesus was talking about, life in the Spirit. Amen. The kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. It's not meat and drink, the Scripture said. It's not something you can for self-indulgence for the flesh, but it is righteousness. It is peace and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. There's joy in His presence. There's fullness of joy, the Old Testament declares, and at His right hand is pleasure forevermore. That is not a deficit. That is not giving up something that we need to fulfill us. It's finding and discovering what we truly need to fulfill us. Make no mistake about it, if we suffer with Him, if we're identified with Him enough to suffer with Him, we're also going to reign with Him. In the Greek, the word reign means to be co-regent. Literally, to reign together. Amen. God has decided in His sovereignty that His people, the redeemed, are going to be co-regent and reign together with Him. Amen. Under His rule, God will give us biblical spiritual authority. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then He said, I will give Him the morning star. This is Christ's promise of personal knowledge of Himself and personal intimate fellowship with Him. Essentially, it is Christ's gift of Himself to us. Remember Revelation 2 and verse 16? It says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. He said, I am the bright and morning star. And to him that overcometh, I will give him the morning star. Christ will give of Himself to us without reservation in full-blown revelation and realization. This is fellowship on a level that we could never know down here, but we will know it when we get home in the presence of the Lord. And then the overcomer shall be declared righteous before God, acknowledged in heaven as God's own children. Amen. Revelation 3 and verse 5, it says, He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Praise God. Hallelujah. It begins with white raiment. In Scripture, white raiment, white linen, are figuratively used to denote the clothing of righteousness we receive from the Lord. In Revelation 19 and verse 14, it said, And the armies of heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. These armies are clothed in righteousness. In the ancient book of Job said, I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. Jesus spoke to the church of Laodicea and said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire and white raiment, that you might be clothed and the shame of your nakedness would not appear. Amen. Make no mistake about it, the wedding garment is represented figuratively by the white linen robes. You know, he's coming for a church that has been washed with water by the word. Amen. That he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Amen. It speaks of those who have washed their robes in the book of Revelation. Washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. All our attempts at righteousness at our very best is like a filthy rag, but he grants to us a robe of righteousness. His righteousness, Paul said, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is according to the law, but the righteousness which is of God. Amen. You know, the devil can pick apart your and our attempts at righteousness. None of us are perfect. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but he can't pick apart God's righteousness. That's why one of the great pieces of spiritual armor against the devil as our accuser is the breastplate of righteousness. It's the righteousness granted to us positionally. When we receive Jesus as our Savior, we become right wise with God. And when we determine to follow him, take up our cross and follow him, the scripture said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all iniquity and unrighteousness. That blood has a continual effect, and it's one of cleansing. Praise God. We're going to be presented to God in a way because of the blood of Jesus, amen, that we could never present ourselves unto him. Praise the Lord. Amen. White linen is the righteousness of the saints. Revelation 19, 7 and 8 said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Praise the Lord. Amen. Back in the book of Isaiah, there's a scripture that says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. It's a righteousness that the devil cannot repudiate. It is the righteousness that God has granted, and it becomes a breastplate. Amen. Our hearts are cleansed from that sense of guilt and unworthiness because we know that the blood of Jesus has been applied to the doorpost of our heart and life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe the outside of that breastplate is that God granted positional righteousness, and the interior of that breastplate is that personal walk with him where we know we're not walking in rebellion. That we're not in perfect, sinless perfection, but we are not following the world. We're not following its values. We're not following the will of the flesh. We've suffered with him. We're reigning with him. Hallelujah. And we are not under sin's dread sway. We have a bent toward righteousness because God has given us a new heart and a new life. Again, there will be times when we need to get down on our knees and repent. We are not perfect. And yes, the flesh is weak. But in our heart, there's come a change. If any man be in Christ, the scripture said he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and friend, all things have become brand new. And God is going to grant to us a wedding garment for that great wedding banquet. Praise the Lord. We can't weave it ourselves down here. But we can determine to receive Jesus as our Savior, repent of our sins, and then we can determine to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and begin to follow Him. Amen. And following Him will not be without some steep places where we will not get it perfectly right. And we will need to come before Him and say, Lord, forgive me, and get up and go on. But it's that getting up and going on, amen, that qualifies us for this righteous robe on that day. Praise God. I'm so excited about bringing you a message of hope, even in the circumstances that we live in, a fallen world and a faulty body, and yet we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. And God promises us a victory that is worth running full out to obtain, because he that overcometh is going to inherit all things. That means everything that God has promised in His Word, He's going to see to it that we receive it as His children. The first step in overcoming, friend, is receiving Jesus as your personal Savior, repenting of our sin and receiving Christ as our personal Savior. And I know all of the arguments, and I know the enemy of your soul will try to just shore up those arguments in your own mind. Like, I can't live the Christian faith. I can't change myself. Well, you're partially right. You can't in yourself. Neither can I. You can't change yourself. But God can certainly change you and change me. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, God works from the inside out, not from the outside in. That's why Jesus said to the church of Laodicea and to all of us today, that behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and him with me. And you open that door to your heart when you repent of your sins and invite Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior. And when He comes in, the Bible said something changes. It's God now that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God that worketh in you. And I'm telling you, what we can't do in our weak flesh, God can do by His Spirit that comes to live within us. What a wonderful, gracious God that we serve. The Scripture said in John's Gospel, chapter 1, and as many as received Him, to them gave He power, literal authority, to become the sons of God. Amen. It doesn't start by changing ourselves. It starts by changing our mind about our sin and our destiny, and saying, Lord, I don't want to be lost and banished and punished. I want to be saved and kept. I want to know when I draw my last breath that the steps that are coming down the hall are coming to take me to heaven. Praise God. You can't beat that with a stick, they used to say in the old days. Friend of mine, this is the greatest message, the greatest hope that there is in all of the universe, that death does not conquer life, but life conquers death when you receive Jesus. What a wonderful, merciful Savior that has given His life on the cross that we might receive Him as our Savior, repent of our sin, have our sins forgiven, have our names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Take part in that first resurrection, where we enter in to the joy of the Lord forever. We love you today. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, would you repent of your sin right now? God will see to it that you overcome. Set your chart your course for heaven. Set your heart upon things above. Set your course for eternity with God. Amen. And God will certainly begin a work within you. Amen. And it'll never end till Jesus comes. And He'll help you over the hard places of life, with the weak places in your life. He will deliver you from the prison house of sin. Hallelujah. He'll give you a white robe that you can stand the presence of a holy God and be accepted in the beloved. Ah, friend, receive Jesus today. And Christian, stand in your standing today. Make a brand new, heartfelt, quality commitment to deny yourself. Make room for more of God and take up your cross and follow Jesus. This thing's about over. Listen, we'll be back next week and let's talk about Jesus.
When I'm going under, I wait for you. Jesus, you're my life. Where would I go? Where would I stand? How could I leave the shelter of your hand? Where could I go? Where would I stand? How could I leave the shelter of your hand?